Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
I am not a Krusty Krab.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome one and all to the Hard Rock Lunchbox and, of course, the Top 20. It is a very, very cold March 21st, 2024. Second day of spring, my ass. It is so cold. I was out on the soccer field last night with my beloved Hurricanes. My goodness, was it a slightly different day than it was on Sunday. Hope everybody is dressed warm. I know I am. Oh, look, I got nipples showing. Look at that. It's that kind of show. I have nipples showing through my shirt. Man, if I were a better looking woman, this would have been a great day. How is everybody doing? I have a lot to talk about. I am so sorry I am late. I was literally trying to fix a problem that I thought I could fix in like 30 seconds. But it's one of those things where it's like, I'm clearly missing something that's obvious to the system I'm working on. So I'm just going to come back at it with fresh eyes after the show, because I was just like, I'm screwing this up and I don't understand why. There I am nonetheless. So, dude, I have so much. Can you see this? Like, I have so much stuff to talk about. There is no way I'm going to get this in 20 minutes. There's literally no way. So much stuff has gone on in the past, whatever, week. I have so much. In fact, I even got to sort through. I got to find where my basic housekeeping is, because even I don't even know where that is currently. Or is it here? Is it there? I found it. Woohoo! Housekeeping, ladies and gentlemen. There is a brand new. My mom told me to tell you. No, it's too loud. There is a brand new top 20. It's called License Plate Crimes, and it's where I talk about the MTA sting that just busted so many people for shady license plate practices, like stolen, switched, it's not covered. It's shaded. It blocks the license plate readers. So I talk about that. I also talk about how the price of Jameson has been going down in my local liquor store. Thank you, Jameson. I appreciate that. I have been drinking a lot of vodka again lately, but Jameson is just my old standby. So, mwah. we're talking about rising corporate profits and scamming the system. So check it out. Give it a look. Give it a listen. Please give it a like. Share it if you're interested. Comment on it if you're interested. I am slowly getting back to my commenting, replies on commenting. I've had other stuff going on that I will address in the next few minutes. On Bacon is My Podcast, they have Luke Middleton from Monday. It's the full interview. the discussions and drinks from yesterday. Looks like it was songwriting, online community, How to Skin a Cat, and Guitar Talk. So feel free to check all that out. Rebel 9 information, if you must know, we are going to be up at Lucy's in Pleasantville on the 30th of March. Please come check us out there if you are in the area. It's our first time there, so we would like to have at least somewhat decent showing. I would personally appreciate that. We'll be back at Beery's in April, and it looks like we're going to do one more local show in May while we're kind of also working on the new material that we're recording. So that's about it for housekeeping. I did want to talk about one very quick thing. This is not even something we're going to discuss so much as I just want you to sort of be aware of it. Just very briefly this morning, I just heard some geopolitical information about some stuff that's going on in Eastern Europe. And I'm only telling you just to be aware of it because, like I always say, like, it's not really important what people say anymore, especially politicians and public figures, definitely radio show hosts. You really got to keep an eye on what it is they're doing. So I've been talking for a long time about Russia and Russia's plans to stabilize Eastern Europe and why that's a problem. I mean, you have so many isolationists in America that obviously just fail history because they just don't seem to understand why it's important that we don't isolate, because that is exactly how World War One happened. If you don't believe me, read a book. But also, like, we... See, this is why it's so dangerous. So here's the basic premise, right? So Putin has been meeting with... So we don't really have this in the United States. I mean, we don't. I was going to say we kind of do it with militias, but we really don't. There are other countries that have, like, these sort of autonomous sections, right? There are some kind of famous ones, like... there's that part in Spain. The name totally escapes me. It's, like, southeastern Spain. Is it the Catalonia region? I think it's where Barcelona is. And they are kind of autonomous, so they're basically just, like, left alone to do what they want, but they're still part of Spain. But then they declared some bullshit, like, a couple years ago about how they weren't going to do anything that Spain wanted to do, and Madrid, the capital of Spain, like, sent people, like, to just go arrest everybody there, and then all of a sudden it was like, okay, too much, too far, got it, right? So you have autonomous regions kind of all over the place. It's not unheard of in the world, right? So you have these places... Very Eastern. Ukraine was kind of like that. It was very heavily Russian. It was still part of Ukraine, but the Ukrainian government was like, cool, you just guys sort of just, you can run yourselves, but, like, we'll just get together for, like, economics and defense and nationalism and all that other stuff. So there are these autonomous regions or pseudo-autonomous regions in places like Moldova and Georgia. Now, Moldova does not border Russia, but Moldova does border Ukraine. Georgia does border Russia. You might know, remember some of the Georgian separatists. Like, it's a big deal. Like, Georgia used to be part of the Soviet Union. So there's a lot of animosity there. There's also a little Soviet patriotism, nationalism. Because don't forget, under the Soviet Union, some people did really well. Some of the people in the Soviet Party. Very similar to, like, the oligarchs today, right? So some people are very, like, pro-Russia, whatever. Putin has been inviting the leaders of these autonomous regions to Russia to basically offer support, and he's using rhetoric like, I might have to go into Moldova to protect my Russian citizens that are there. Now, that is the same bullshit he used in Ukraine, and he's now been invading Ukraine for 2 years. So, the moment that actually happened, it was funny, the week that happened about Moldova is that the president of Moldova actually flew to France to sign a defense agreement because they're very worried about being invaded by a much larger Russia. I mean, if you look at the map of Eastern Europe, Moldova might as well be Rhode Island to Ukraine's, you know, Alaska, and Russia's just a monster. So they're super worried. Georgia's even smaller, so they are just way, way worried about all that stuff. And the reason this is dangerous is because Putin has basically said this out loud. Like, he said the quiet part out loud. Like, he wants these things. He wants to acquire these things. He's looking to increase his sphere of influence. Which really should also, like, kind of remind people that are all isolationists in America, like, why should we want to just be hands-off when China and Russia are like, oh, let's consolidate territory? I mean, like, they are definitely playing to win the game of Monopoly, and we are not. I mean, traditionally we are, but, like, the isolationists here are not. Because you see it every now and then. People post dumb stuff, and it's not... I should take that back. It's not dumb stuff. It's uninformed and unintelligent stuff about, like... It's like a picture of the globe, and it's like you see just the United States on there, and it's like places where my tax money should go. It's like... You clearly don't understand how geopolitics works, which is fine. I do, like, the education system here is just garbage. So I understand, like, why that's the case, and why you don't necessarily understand. But, like, if we want to instill, like, democracy around the world and not have, like, despotic dictatorships, kind of like World War One, World War Two tried to kind of do, like, we have to sort of step up. Like, the advanced countries of the developed countries of the world, like, not that we're necessarily need to be the policemen, like, I don't think that that's fair, but I think, like, us and our partners, like, in the EU and, like, some of our partners in, like, Asia Pacific, like, we can demonstrate like what real democracies look like, some freedom, some trades. Like, we can do this responsibly. It's very hard to get around the power mongering and the war and fear mongering. I understand that. But it's still going to be better than China, which is like absolute rule. Like, anybody that watched anything that was going on in Hong Kong can tell you that. Or what Russia is doing in Ukraine and what Russia has traditionally done. I mean, shit. What they just basically killed Navalny and they're arresting protesters again. They're killing Russian dissidents around the world. They don't even bother to worry about whether or not they're in the Russian borders. I mean, these are documented factual things. This is not me just making stuff up. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is, like, keep an eye on this, because the danger in what, like, Trump, former President Trump has been saying about, like, you know, don't worry about NATO. NATO's whatever. Like, NATO isn't the North American Treaty Organization. Like, we have treaties with this country, including countries like Romania and Poland, and now famously Sweden, because they just joined NATO. This is if they get attacked, we are bound by this treaty to go in and defend them. NATO is a lot of what we did, insisted on when we went into Afghanistan. NATO countries all had to join because we were attacked. They did not go into Iraq because they were not convinced that Iraq attacked us, and Iraq turns out did not attack us, but if Afghanistan did, they were harboring the Al-Qaeda operatives that did attack us, and that's why there were French soldiers in Afghanistan, and, you know, English soldiers in Australia, Australian's a different thing, sorry, excuse me. All the NATO countries sent support, logistical or financial or whatever. Like, it's a big deal. Like, and that's why we have it. That's why we've signed this agreement. It's also why it's so important and was important during the Cold War to kind of isolate out Russia. But so these are big deals. So when you have a presidential contender that's saying, like, we don't have to worry about NATO and we're not going to defend NATO, what do you think that means? It means that the adversary of NATO, to which is basically Russia, that's all that's really left of the Warsaw Pact and the Iron Curtain, is going to start taking liberties and sort of see what he can get away with. So do not be surprised if you see incursions into Georgia and Moldova within the next 6 to 8 months. Was it March? 6 to 9 months. And I don't want to say like you heard it here first, but I want to point out that you must watch what these people are doing, not so much what they're saying. So that's my World War watch. I have so much to talk about. I wanted to talk about taxes and why taxes are important and what taxes do. But I just don't think I'm going to get to that today, so I might have to wait. I had stuff about Sweden and Sweden's taxes, and I have stuff about American taxes. I will say, I don't know if you can read this, but here, I'll just put this up. This is like 2023. This is where the basics of our taxes go. See that? Most of it's Social Security and health insurance and defense, right? So I wanted to talk about that a little bit because I do take an issue with people that are constantly like, well, you know, we shouldn't have to pay taxes and stuff like that. And I always wonder, like, what they actually think that looks like. I understand back in the wilderness days, like pre-World War I, when we weren't paying income taxes, like we didn't have a lot of stuff. Right? Like, even on its simplest level, right? Like, I always talk about stuff like the police department, fire department, libraries, highways, even water infrastructure. But a lot of people, like, pre-World War I were very rural, right? They didn't have telephones. They didn't have, you know, septic systems. They had outhouses and stuff like that. Like, people in the Dust Bowl weren't really worried about their GPS or their internet connections. But these are things that we actually have. Stuff like the FDIC, the stuff that we all count on. Like, these are where our tax dollars go. I mean, there is a tremendous amount of waste. Please, please, please do not ever misunderstand that I don't think there's waste in taxes and that we should do a much better job than we're doing. But the concept that we shouldn't even pay any taxes at all and then people still expect to have things like defense, satellites, food regulate, like it just baffles the mind. And I run into this problem with libertarians all the time because they just, like, when you start talking to libertarians, who I'm fascinated because it's really, like, less government, which I think there really ought to be. So, like, I'm libertarian in a lot of views until it's like, well, and then we don't need money for, like, bridges and highways. Like, as I said last week, like, I'm a huge fan of infrastructure. Like, I really, really am. So, I just want to get to something really quick, so I'm going to run out of time really fast. So, remember last week I was talking about the AI program that I was just kind of just futzing around with because it was fun and I was enjoying it. And I said that it could run the entire show and it could just kind of come up with clips. And I was saying that it actually did a really good job of coming up with some topical clips. So I ran it, and I ran the whole show, not last week's show. Well, I mean, I did that too, but the world doesn't know that yet. That's coming later today. So I took the show before that. So if today is the 21st, so it would have been the 7th. Right, so the show from the 7th. I talk a lot about Sweden. I talk a lot about Fox viewers. I talk about a bunch of other stuff, but those things specifically. So I ran through the show, so it isolated all those clips. So I was just like, screw it. Let's see what happens. So I pushed it out. I pushed it out to the Facebook page. Some of them. I pushed some of them out to the Facebook page. I pushed some of them out to the Instagram page. There's a TikTok feeder that it also goes to. I'm not on TikTok, so don't look for me there. But it pushes to there. But what I also did is I wanted to see what this looks like on YouTube. Now, I do not have the connectivity to the Strangerhood TV one because the Bacon Is My Podcast guys have that one, and that's fine. They do most of it. They do the heavy lifting there. That's fine by me. But in order for me to connect to YouTube Shorts directly, like if I want to, like I upload one YouTube short in Strangerhood TV every week, so I have to do it manually. I have to export it out, download it to my phone, upload it through my phone, and then, you know, manually add all this stuff. It's time consuming. It's a good 5 minutes. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but for somebody that's always behind, it's too much. So I only do the one. So through this program, I just set up a connector. What I did is I created a Hard Rock Lunchbox YouTube page, brand new, like nothing is on it. It did not exist before last Saturday. And I just created it because I wanted to dump the shorts there because I wanted to see what they would look like in that format, in that context. So I did that. So Saturday, when I do all my box nonsense, I just did all that. I did all that for the show from the 7th, so 2 weeks ago. So I dump it all there. I create a brand new YouTube page. If you want to check it out, it's YouTube, like probably at Hard Rock Lunchbox. I'm not promoting it, certainly not yet. And so I do that on Saturday, I check it out, I look, I'm like, oh, that's cool. The only subscriber on the page at the time is the Rebel 9 page, because I wanted to go look at it, and I did that. So I forget all about it. So Monday morning, I come into work, and I'm looking at my email. And I've got all this email on the Hard Rock Lunchbox page, which is funny, because, like, Hard Rock Lunchbox, like, I get the occasional email from bands. I get some podcast information, like stats on how the show is doing. It's always kind of mediocre at best, exactly what you expect. But now I have, like, your YouTube video has this comment. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about because the ones, like, I do not get notified of the Strangerhood TV comments. I have to just go in there and look. So I don't even know what this is. And then I look. And those shorts that I posted, you know, I look at a couple. I'm like, uh-oh, it's probably the Fox News thing. Because I said on the show that the average Fox viewer has a lesser is less intelligent than the average American. Now, that is a statistic. That is not my opinion. It's a statistic. I don't even know if it's still true. The stat was from a couple years ago. I will say that with the Dominion lawsuit, Fox lost a lot of viewers, but I think they lost a lot of the more intelligent viewers. This is an opinion. I think they lost a lot more of the more intelligent viewers, which would necessitate that the average intelligence went down. That's just a guess. It's just an opinion. I do not know for sure. The reason I'm being so careful about that is because one of the videos, one of the shorts on there where I said that about Fox, I look, it's at like 445 views, and there is a fair amount of comments on it and a lot of negativity on it, as you can imagine. So I'm like, uh-oh, that's too bad. But still, over 400 views on a short seems bananas to me, but like, that's fine. So I'm looking, there's another one there too that's like in the 400s. I'm like, huh, that's pretty cool. But I'm not seeing anything in, like, really, like, a flurry of comments. And I keep scrolling down. And then I get to the one about Sweden and taxes in Sweden and, like, the welfare state of Sweden. And I am here to tell you that as of today, we are floating well over 10,000 views on that bad boy and over 140 comments on it. Comments I refuse to look at, by the way. If you're watching this and you're wondering why I haven't responded to that, is because there is no way that any, like, I, as soon as I saw it, I was like, there's, like, no chance that all of those comments are like, yeah, right on, man, you totally nailed it. And it's not that I just, like, I don't really have the problem with addressing commentary, but, like, there's so few people that are really interested in discussion. Like, even the one person that I, on the Fox thing, that he basically said, like, you know, the fact that you're slandering Fox viewers probably means that you're not all that intelligent. And I was like, well, fun fact, I wasn't slandering anybody. I was quoting a statistic. So, you know, slander is, like, you need to misrepresent with, you know, non-facts or untruths to actually insult somebody. And I'm not doing that. I was quoting a stat. And then he was like, well, it's still blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, it's not. And then I was like, look, I have no problem having these discussions, but I'm really not going to debate facts with anybody. Like, I'm done doing that. Like, there are facts, there are truths out in the world, and it's not, well, I'm not dealing in fake news. This is this, and this is that. Like, and a lot of people were like, anybody that watches mainstream media, like, I know that. I'm not interested in mainstream media. In fact, I very rarely watch mainstream media because it's just, there's no point. Like, if I seek something out specifically, fine. But, like, I'm not sitting there watching the news. I'm not sitting there watching anything, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm still trying to get the fuck through Ozark, which is taking me for absolutely ever. Anyway. So, yeah. So, I think, technically, I don't know if that counts as going viral. I don't know what the stats are for going viral, but apparently what I said about Sweden, people know, like. And that's why I was like, I had all this printed out, because it's about the tax system, and like I know what they're going to say. You know, it's like, no, that's not how it works. And a lot of people, like, you know, are always like, taxes are dumb, and, like, you know, all that other stuff. But, like, what I said is statistically true. I thought it was, like, a really high amount, you know, that Swedes pay in taxes. And basically what it says is, like, the way the Swedish tax, according to the government on the official page. Now, it could be all propaganda. I did not know that Sweden is known for, you know, its political propaganda vis-a-vis taxes. But, you know, it's pretty simple. It says, in Sweden, most people pay only local tax on their annual income. This tax varies depending on the municipality and ranges from 28.98% to 35.15%. Sweden's average local tax rate is 32.34%. Earners above a certain income threshold may also pay a 20% state tax. So, the Swedish tax also includes a so-called basic deduction, a sum that is exempt from taxable income. Some differs depending on whether a person is under or over 65. And then for capital gains, it's around 30%. If you make a profit on your property sale, the profit is taxed at 22%. Like, these are all basically things that I said. And if you add those together, so somebody making over, I think it's like $70,000. I forget what it is. Like, they talk about it in whatever the Swedish currency is, and I don't have the converter up in front of me. But I had said, you know, somewhere between 40 and 60%, and this basically says the average municipal tax is 32.34%. And then if you make more than that amount, it's another 20%, which is 52.34%, which, without me having actual numbers in front of me when I said that, turns out that I was actually correct based on what the Swedish government says. So if people in Sweden are having a real issue with that, like, this is what your government officially says you are paying in taxes. And if I were you, I would get on that. Now, I did make one mistake, and I'm here to actually retract that completely. I did say that they pay absolutely nothing for, like, medical care, and that's not true. I do have the explanation of what it here. They basically pay some semblance, Americans would recognize it, like, as a copay, but there are caps onto what that is, and then after that, all medical care is free. And then, I'm sure people are going to argue with that too, so I'm just guessing there's different municipalities in Sweden, and maybe people have to pay different things in Stockholm than they have to do, like, way up north. That, I am not an expert in Sweden. I was just talking about specifically what the Swedish government says their tax system works as and works towards, because they have a very, or are represented as, a very well and successful welfare state. Now, I know people always complain about stuff, like, when we talk about, like, Canada, and Tony and I were even talking about this rehearsal the other day, because people are always shitting on Canada. It's like, well, okay, well, you know, yeah, it's you know, universal health care, but you have to wait like three months for a medical appointment. Like, I got news for you, dude. Like, if you're not going to urgent care in the United States, you're probably going to have to wait 3 months for an appointment here. So I don't know why that argument keeps getting made. I mean, seriously, like, you want to try and make an appointment with your dermatologist? You let me know just how quickly you can get that done. And I'm not even talking about little stuff, like, well, I think I want to move this freckle from here to here. Like, real stuff, like, real issues. I know, like, with my urologist, that I have to go to because of my kidney stones, like, I have to go every 6 months, and I have to make that appointment before I walk out, otherwise I will not get it. Try making a dental appointment. Like, that's really hard. Sometimes you have to end up waiting for a cancellation if you're lucky, but it's at least 4 months out. So this whole argument that, like, universal health care certainly just grinds stuff to a halt is ridiculous. It's the same here as it is in Canada. The main difference is we have here is we have, you can pay more for stuff, which I assume you can pay more in Canada too if you want better health care. If you don't want to pay for it and you want lesser health care, more generic manager special level health care, I guess that's what you get. But what I'm saying is, like, for basic stuff, I would like that too. I'm a responsible adult. I can make my appointments 6 months in advance and get those things taken care of. I would love to pay $100 only for that. And then when I have something urgent, I could go to urgent care and pay a lot more money for that. And that seems reasonable. It seems reasonable across the board, but yet anybody that's just against healthcare and universal healthcare is just like, pfft. But you gotta understand, like, we have universal healthcare in this system, in this country, in the United States, but it's going to the incredibly poor, and it's going to the relatively old in the form of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and all that other stuff. Medicare and Medicaid are cash cows for all these doctor offices and all that other stuff. That is where most of our, in that chart, that is where most of our money is going. So what I'm saying about universal healthcare is, like, I'd like the people that are paying the most into it, aka the middle class, probably people like you, probably people like me, to get their fair share. I'm not going to get mad at poor people or mad at old people because they're getting something I want. I'm going to get mad at the people that aren't giving it to me. And those are currently the Republicans in Congress. So what did we cover here today? Absolutely nothing. Nothing important, just like always. But I may have had my first viral video. I don't know if that's good. I don't think so. I'm going to put out more this week and just sort of test it out and see how it goes. And then if I, you know, keep enjoying this sort of commentary on stupid things that I have to say, like, maybe we'll take it even further. But in the meantime, here's a little something from Mikey's band. Something heavy. It's called Escape. I could probably use one of those. Just saying.
Swallow. I need a way. expert here will now give you a rundown on proper
Hard Rock Lunch Box
technique.
Good afternoon, we're going to have a great
Hard Rock Lunch Box
today. Okay, crack a hard cut if you hit the wall. There's a screaming bottom character to watch out. Remember, rip it, roll it, and punch it.
It's like he's trying to speak to me, I know it.
Toxifying efforts for shreds of my name being mentioned on your side of the door. Name your motivation to keep it together. Don't bother sugarcoating tales grown tall of the encounters that we got back. Far too close to call. It's that I hope you know. It took a minute to get over you, and I hope you know. I've seen your type by the dozens of cool people always come in. Hope you know. It took a minute to get over you, and I hope you know. I've seen your type by the dozens of cool people always come in.
Stella Easley, one of my favorite songs from Crash Overcast. Not necessarily local, but still unsigned and undersigned. By the way, I started working on a... I'll tell you about that in a minute. I don't know who in my listening audience knows or remembers the band Station. We used to play with Station a lot. We used to play with them a lot up at the Room, and then we would play with them other places. Very, just such a cool band, like such cool guys. Like I really like Chris and Patrick. Like I really like them as people. They're incredibly talented musicians. And the funny thing, and the reason I started laughing, is what Station was doing, aside from being named after the whole band from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which is awesome all by itself, what Station basically was is like 80s arena hair metal arena rock. That's what they did. But what made them different, and what I always respected about them, is that they were in this genre for sure, but they did not write anything stale or stagnant or just sound relatively old. They kept writing new material, but they kept writing it in the genre. So as if they were in that time period, they would just write new material and it would get better every time. So that is cool to me, because I hear a lot of bands like in rock that are just playing tired old rock riffs, whereas Station would play 80s music, 80s hair metal, but as if it had kept going. And that is something I always appreciated about them. But if you haven't heard them, or you haven't heard them in a while, don't worry, I got you.
Blinded by your face, standing in the light. We did. I alone conceived. I wanna fight it, but you're the one I need. I just can't get you off my mind. We've been here before, yeah. Baby, I love you. I just wanna show you, but I don't wanna know your name. Baby, I need you. I just wanna see you, but I don't wanna know your name.
Met before in a different time and place. You don't know me, but I recognize your face. I think about you more than you will know.
Have the ring, and I see your
hard rock lunch box
is as big as mine.
We'll be right back.
Ah, Midnight Mob, back when they were still the Midnight Mob. Back when they were still holding it together. God, I do remember those days. They were always fun to meet up with on the road. Real shame what went down there. Real waste, unfortunately. That's right, I said it. Needed to be said. You know, it's not a waste. In fact, Rebel 9 is actually still together and still playing, and in my opinion, still improving. At least I am, for sure. Like, that's what I'm going to go with. I keep saying it every month. I feel like my voice gets stronger and better and better and better. And I really thought by this time it would be going further south, but it's not. It just keeps getting stronger as I keep working with it. So it turns out that Jimmy was right. It's always a no. Yeah, keep working on something. It really does get better. And, there I am. Now it's taken me 1,000 years to get this good. I wish I had started a lot sooner, and I wish I had a lot of help along the way, because then maybe I'd be a really badass singer. But I'll settle for just a good-ass singer. But if you want to find out for yourself, you can check us out on at Lucy's, the Garage at Lucy's, on the 30th up in Pleasantville. We were asked there with to be on the bill by my very good friend Dave and the band 10 Ton Mojo. If you forgot about them, don't worry, I got you.
Once, not never. Nope. Whose chair is that? Who bought that goddamn chair here? It's not my chair.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Not my problem, that's what I say.
Feeling nervous. My doctor has no cure.
Hard Rock Lunchbox would like to wish a very happy, I'm guessing, 17th birthday to Julia, lead singer of Neon Skyline. I mean, 12th birthday? I don't know. Did she get a pony? But she probably got a pony, right? That's fun. Julia's got to be like half or a third of the age of everyone else. I'm not calling anyone else in that band old because I am their age, but I have kids older than Julia, I think. Happy birthday. Hope you got a pony. So, if any of you have been monitoring some of the local bands' socials, you've probably seen something called the New York Indie Playlist. Something I emailed the owners of. I asked if Rebel and I could get on there. They were gracious enough to add us on. And so we are on the New York Indie Playlist, so I would be remiss if not to mention that you can find Rebel 9. I think Into the Afternoon is what's on there. Check out the Indie Playlist. You can see us. We're all promoting it. I know us are. We are. Pathmaker is. I think Neon Skyline, a couple other bands that I know for sure have been promoting. Click that link. Check it out. They're as I said in my post, like, there's bands that you just don't know. They're local. You just don't know them yet. I mean, you probably know a lot of them, especially if you listen to this show. You just don't know them yet. So you might want to check them out. Like, they're, like I said, they're local. If you're somebody that likes local music and going out to see local bands, this might be perfect for you. I actually started redoing one of my playlists that I'm not sure what you guys think. You can let me know in the chat if you want real quick. I renamed it the Hard Rock Lunchbox. Or HRLB need to know, and I'm gonna go with like 20 or 25 songs from like unsigned and undersigned bands. Most of them are gonna be local just because I'm local, but not all of them. And I'm just gonna try and have like one song from these bands, like the most recent song from these bands in this playlist. So I'll be curating it every week, or at least every time a local band puts out a new song, so you'll be able to hear the new one from Rebel 9, the new one from Pathmakers on there, the new one from Roderick, and I had to go back a little ways to get some stuff from Something Heavy, Neon Skyline, I Ignite, and Craving Strange and stuff. But I think that might be a valuable thing. As you guys send me new music from local and undersigned bands, I could just add them in. Like, I've got Cade Katz in there. He's from Throw the Fight, but Cade Katz himself is pretty underrepresented out there, so I thought that would be appropriate for this as well. So what I'm saying is, if you think it's a cool idea, let me know. But also, if you think there's bands in there that I should be adding, also let me know. And I'll put them in, and then these will basically be, hey, these are bands you need to know, and here's their latest single, right? That seems simple enough. Does that seem at all valuable to anybody? Like, at all? It's always a no! Well, you know, certainly doing our best. But the New York Indie one is out now. There's a bunch of bands on it. Like I said, please go check it out. The band that sponsors it is a band called the Space Turtles, so I figured that would be a good place to start for me looking for new music. I actually heard the song that they put up there. It's Biggie Bryce and the Beatbox Boys, and I was going to play that, but I actually like this song a little bit better, so I grabbed Spooky Shit for ya. And yeah, man, first time ever, Space Turtles in the box. We'll
That spooky shit's all I want. Forget the rest. Some people don't can eyes. Monsters that bump in the night. Laser shooting out of UFOs. Demons in every hand we go. Give me that spooky shit.
In the entire world is a stupid idiot.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Except me. I am a genius.
You're wasting my time. Used to be partners, Bonnie Clyde. Used to stay up with you singing Sublime. Now when I hear them, it kills me inside.
Damn, what a crime. Wasting my time. Used to be partners, Bonnie and Clyde. Used to stay up with you singing Sublime.
You singing Sublime. Now when I hear them, it kills me inside.
Damn, what a crime. Wasting my time.
Think with my heart and not with my head. I'm feeling defeated. So I threw my heart against the wall to see if it hurts. I feel invincible. And I don't know what's worse. My heart against the wall. Or me.
Don't quite remember what the impetus was for getting a cheese song for Mel's musical moment this week, but she did. And the problem I have with it is not actually that it's a bad song. It's not even that it's ridiculous. My problem is that I actually kind of like this song, and I feel lesser of a person for doing that. But you can judge for yourself, right? Right? Hold on. Yeah. You can judge for yourself right now. because it's Space Force Topher, the Marine rapper D-Cure. The song's called Cheese. It's definitely on the box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
So, I am now heavily irritated. Typical Long Island music, local music scene nonsense. Man, I really do. I need to bring the show back to that kind of stuff. My problem with it, with why I haven't been talking about it so much in the top 20, is because I just have absolutely nothing good to say about it. Constantly being rubbed the wrong way by people, like, constantly. And I know I have to do a little bit of a shift in my own and my own perspective to kind of get past that, but it's bothering me a tremendous amount that people and partners that I've worked with for years are just totally, like, flat leaving and abandoning me and my projects, and I'm so tired of it. And, you know, I've noticed that as I stop creating my own things and inviting people, like, you're seeing the reciprocity. Now, I've never done it for reciprocal reasons. I always do it for, like, good shows and bands that I want to play with, but at some point, I guess you really do have to recognize that, like, people that you thought were, like, your friends and your partners just aren't. I am so fucking irritated at this point. Like, I am literally putting out the best material that my band has ever put out. I just want to take a minute and just be very grateful for the bands that are still asking us to do shows with them. I am super grateful to them. And my loyalty will be to them from now on. These other bands can really just go fuck themselves. I'm just so over it. And it's appropriate now because I had grabbed this song that I wanted to play last week and I didn't get around to it. It's just one of the greatest old heavy metal songs of all time. It's all about aggression, and I'm just so feeling it right now. For those of you old enough to remember Sepultura, this one's for you.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
There's really never a good time to play Limp Bizkit, except when you're just, like, super mad. I'm just trying to avoid the urge here to, like, just start deleting bands that I'm really mad at out of the local folder here. I know it doesn't do anything, like, it doesn't do a lot for people, but it does some stuff for some of these bands. Like, it's certainly a place where people really do go to hear new bands and hear new music. Like, there's not a lot of places that do that. Like, and I don't know, man. I'm just so tired. Like, I fought a lot against, like, this whole cutthroat, me first sort of attitude over the years. And it was really good for, like, almost a decade. And now it reverted back to such shit so fast. And I'm just so disgusted by it. But that ought to be good for you, especially if you like heavy music. Am I right?
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
I don't think there's much denying that as I get more and more in a mood, it definitely leaves a lot for the box to just kind of keep rocking along. I'm feeling a little bit better as I'm just sort of ranting and ranting and ranting here, because usually once I speak about it or write about it or whatever, I tend to just blow out and I can kind of breathe it out. But man, really pissing me off. I'm not done yet, though, so I got some good music for you. Go get them, guys.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
Well, you know, things are improving if I'm going to go from Slipknot to Coheed. I mean, there are definitely worse things, right?
Hard Rock Lunch Box.
You know, I do talk a lot about situations that I find myself in, but I do reference them a lot in terms of my perspective and my perception of them, because I am so far from a perfect human being it's not that I'm inventing things, but I just cannot seem to get out of my own way most of the time. And it's because I am instilled with and was raised with certain ways of thinking about the world. And much like other people, when you have strife against that and it's not going the way that you're expecting it to be, you end up with this sort of anxiety between those two, the concept and the construct and what's actually happening on the ground. It's the reason that when I released The Reality Crush with everything that was going on, it's why I titled it that. Because that's what that is when you're expecting things in the world to be a certain way and they just aren't. And the realization when you step to it and you realize that that's the case, the crushing blow that it does to your psyche and your stamina as a person, as a human in this life, is sometimes devastating. And that's what I was going through at the time. So these are not unfamiliar things, and they're not unfamiliar places for me to be in. And I was actually just thinking as I was cruising through, looking through some of the material, I realized, like, I still remember walking through the park by my house, Whitman Park, when I was writing the lyrics to what would become the lead song on The Reality Crush, which is what it is. And it's basically the acquiescence and the kind of the giving up of those things. And yet there's always that piece that still knows that it's wrong. And I get stuck behind that piece so much. Thank you all for listening with all my anxiety and anger-fueled nonsense for the past, whatever, 120 minutes, whatever it was. I don't know. We'll find out more next week about how it goes when I release some more of these AI videos. We'll see if I get some more hater aid coming at me. Maybe everyone will disagree with me and we'll be cool. Maybe I'll start getting asked on some of these festival shows and everything will just be better next week. It could totally happen. It was 70 degrees last week. Now it's 4. So, see, things can change. So, I don't want to send you out in a depressed, sad mood, so I figured I'd give you one of the greatest sing-along songs of all time that I could muster for you. Makes me laugh every single time. If you happen to catch me doing this the one time I did it at KJ's Unplugged, you'll know why I'm so fond of it. It's such a great musical stage memory for me. I hope you all have a really great week. Thanks for being a part of it. And I will see you again right here next Thursday on The Box.
Hard Rock Lunch Box.